Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Samina Spin. I'm your host, Samina Mughal. Hope everyone is doing well on this fine Wednesday. So in today's podcast, I am going to be going over my reflections as an improper Muslim Indian girl. So what caused me to have my reflections? Well, I have a birthday coming up in a few days. So my birthday is always a great time for me. I love my birthday. It's a time of excitement. It's another year of life to do what I want to do and explore what life has to offer. I like to celebrate and reflect. So hence, I am bringing you Reflections of an Improper Muslim Indian Girl. What has made me so improper? Where do I start? Let's start with me as a little girl. I was a tomboy who was always into quote-unquote boys things like football and basketball. Since I idolized my brothers, I wanted to do whatever they were doing. I played sports. I didn't wear shalwar kameez. For those of you who don't know what shalwar kameez is, the long dress with pants, not the sari, not the 9 yards of fabric, but the long dress and the pants. I didn't really wear those too often growing up. Literally, we were the first Indian family to move into my small little Pennsylvania town. Hence, there wasn't an opportunity for me to wear those. So I didn't really wear those. Not only that, not only did I not wear the traditional garb, I had half-assed language ability. Again, first Indian family in my town, don't really have the opportunity to speak it. It's pretty comical, actually. I speak it a lot with my mother. And I have my own particular brand of Punjabi. So it's like Bunglish, but it's my own brand of Bunglish. So sometimes people who speak Punjabi may or may not understand me. My mother understands me, but they may or may not. Actually, that's not true. Usually people understand me, but they get a kick out of my Punjabi with an American accent. So in any case, as I was growing up, though, my language ability was not that great. Add to that I was born in this country, I immediately was branded as knowing nothing about my language or culture. My grandfather, when I was a baby, or so I'm told, he looked at me as a baby, not even speaking yet. He says to my mother, "This country will have an effect on her." It sure did, but in the best of ways. I wouldn't be who I am without being born in this country, so I'm pretty grateful for that. In any case, though, I did have people from other countries, my own family included, make assumptions about me because I was born in this country. I had a cousin. One of my favorite times of someone making a blatant assumption about me was a cousin I had never met before watching a Bollywood award show with me and assuming I knew nothing about Bollywood, which is really comical because I've watched Bollywood movies forever. I know the older actors and actresses. I know a lot about Bollywood movies. The assumption itself isn't so bad, but it was the way she talked to me, like, I had no conception of anything Indian. This is what happened. So we're watching the show, and I still remember the actress who came up on stage. I believe she was hosting. I don't quite remember. It was so long ago. But she was wearing this beautiful gold sari, and it was Irmila Matondkar. She's been around forever. And I know who she is. I've seen her movies. So hence, I knew what we were watching. And even if I didn't know who she was, give me enough sense and credit to know what a sari looks like. So anyway, so Nirmala struts her pretty little self on stage, starts talking, and my cousin looks at me and says, "You know this is an Indian show, right? Strike one." I looked at her. "Yes." "Is it okay if we watch it?" "Strike two." "Yes." And I said it in the exact tone I am imparting at this moment. So I was insulted. I was younger then. So I was a lot more hot-headed. Today, I think I really just would have laughed it off. Like, I would have made fun of her mercilessly, but I would have laughed it off more. So instead, I had my serious, "I'm about to hammer you" tone. So I basically said yes. And I looked at her. I said, "I know you must have heard some things about me being born in this country," or something along those lines. I'm not saying what I said verbatim. And she says, "Yes." And I said, "Well, yeah, you have heard some things about me. Some of them are true. Some of them are not. But if you've heard that I have a big mouth, believe that one." She said, "Well, oh, no, I didn't really hear anything." I'm like, "Oh, yeah. I had another cousin in the room, one who knows me well and who was raised in this country like I was. She had this blank look on her. She was still looking at the TV. She didn't even look at either one of us. And she basically says, "Can't judge a book by its cover." And my cousin snaps at her, my other cousin, snaps at her and says, "Well, I wasn't judging, okay?" She didn't have the cojones to give me some sort of retort, but she had the cojones to give it to my other cousin. To this day, I find that hilarious, but that's just a clear, blatant example of someone from overseas assuming I know nothing about my culture. So there you have it. I actually did know a lot about my culture. I knew a lot about my history. I actively sought it out. I read, I watched whatever I could watch. Didn't have a lot of people of Indian descent around me. It just was what it was. In high school, I did hang out with other Indians, but very few. I tried for about 5 minutes in college to hang out with other Indians. But they were so clicky. I went there and immediately felt uncomfortable, partially because they were ever so proper. In proper Indian girl like me, I'm not that comfortable with proper Indians. You know, the ones who say the right things and they're pre-med or whatever, or they're some sort of IT. I had no interest in that. I was an English major. Eventually became an English major with a sociology minor. So two different ends of the spectrum on that one. So in any case, I'm in there. I'm sitting there by myself. All these little cliques are sitting with themselves, sitting amongst themselves. So I'm just looking at them, how proper they are. But at the same time, it's all well and good if you're proper or very vanilla in my eyes, but I just found them to be so inauthentic. Just the kind of people smile on your face but jibber jabber behind your back. That's the impression that I got. So looking back, I probably should have given them a bit of a chance, but just the inauthenticity just turned me off, so I couldn't do it. But oh well, I probably should have, but oh well. In any case, improper again. Don't fit in with the proper Indians. So later, when I became a teacher, most Indians I knew were either, like I said, in the medical field or in IT. And at social events, it was really comical. They would come up to me or I would come up to them, we would chit-chat. And inevitably, when you're at networking events or social events, you start talking about the work that you do. I would proudly say that I'm a teacher and that I teach English to speakers of other languages. I'm very proud of that to this day. I enjoyed what I did. So, of course, I talked about it. And then whoever I was talking to who was invariably either in the medical field or in IT would just look at me, oh, that's interesting, big smile. Oh, that's interesting, da-da-da. And then within about 5 minutes, the conversation was over because they had nothing else to say. They knew very little about my field. I knew very little about theirs. So they would just kind of make their way to somebody else, somebody that they could actually relate to. So, I mean, I just, you know, I was a tomboy who chose to be creative over being practical. I sealed my doom by doing that, but that's okay. I sealed my doom in a good way. That was only the tip of the iceberg of my improperness. Like I already mentioned, me just being born in this country lent itself to that. To some, like my cousin, that automatically means I don't know my culture. That automatically means I don't speak Punjabi at all. Again, I don't speak it perfectly. I don't speak Punjabi perfectly. I don't even know all the curse words. Just as in a little aside, Punjabi has the best curse words. It just does. I don't know why. It just does. But anyway, actually, along those lines, cursing and curse words, I actually just learned the P word in Punjabi as an adult. Now, I know that sounds funny that I'm saying the P word instead of the actual word. I will say fuck on this podcast all day long, but I won't say the P word. That's where I draw the line. I won't say the P word, but it was very comical. I learned the P word from my cousin. I remember sharing that with my mother. She wasn't too happy about that. Yes, but I won't actually say the P word. Maybe I'm not so improper after all. Anyway, my language ability isn't great. It's there. I can have a conversation with you, but it's not great. I mix up masculine and feminine pronouns and tenses. That makes me perfect fodder to be made fun of when I make a mistake. Like being made fun of makes someone speak a language better. But okay, you can have some fun with me on that one. I just have fun with it. If people find my Punjabi speaking abilities or lack thereof comical, that's fine. If you choose to make fun of my Punjabi and your English is bad, I'll just make fun of you right back. No big deal. It's not a big deal. So it's just, you know, it's just a comical festival of people with lack of language ability going back and forth with each other. It's just fun now. But I do have to say, I don't get that as much anymore. I'm not sure why. I never actually had to rip somebody for their English ability for ripping me for my Punjabi ability. So it's actually pretty cool. But again, I'm just a happy little traveler now, so I don't really get in those situations as much. But yes, so yes, be born in this country, not speaking Punjabi very well, not wearing shalwar kameez that much. Okay, so those are some of the things that made me improper. Another thing that makes me improper is that I am a world-class smartass, as if you can't already tell. I will just say whatever, especially if you're asking for it. And coupled with that, with the fact that I'm not coy, and when I say that, I mean, I say exactly what I mean. I might use some colorful language, like colorful metaphors, but I say what I mean. I'm very to the point. I'm so matter of fact and to the point. I'm actually known as a simpleton in some circles in my family. That's okay, though. That's okay. That's fine. I didn't play the game because I wanted to use my intelligence for something worthwhile. I never saw playing games with people as being worthwhile or not really saying what you mean, or just saying it, or just saying what you think people want to hear. I know that might make me charming to some people, but it just, the idea of it just makes me want to throw up. So I never did it. I mean, I'm just a very straightforward person. So me being really straightforward and not smiling in your face and saying yes, yes, or Haji is yes, and G is respectfully. So just saying yes, yes, very respectfully to every single thing wasn't really my forte. I will tell you exactly what I think. That's just me. That's another thing that made me improper. I have to say, my directness does scare some people sometimes, or it has in the past. I've gotten much softer since then. I get that, which is why I got much softer. I just have no time back then, now, for in the future. I just have no time or interest in bullshit. May I always stay that way. But one thing I did recognize is to just be a little softer in my approach. Now, I see no need to be the ham on a religious level. I'm definitely improper. Never mind that I only pray when I feel like it and don't read the Quran in Arabic, because I have this thing about actually understanding what I read. I don't know one word in Arabic. Actually, I do know one word. I know salam means peace. So I do know maybe 5 words in Arabic. And I am a big believer in reading to understand. So I'm not big on reading Arabic. Maybe one day I'll learn. But right now, I'm good with reading it in English and understanding it. I don't really dress the part. I don't wear a hijab, except to go to the mosque. I am respectful. When I go to the mosque, when I go somewhere where I know we will be praying, I dress properly, meaning arms, legs covered, my hair is covered when we pray. So I have respect and I have etiquette, but it's not my general habit to wear a hijab. It's just not. Generally, my arms are uncovered a lot because I get hot easily. I wear sleeveless shirts a lot, again, because I get hot easily. Sometimes I wear shorts or skirts that are above the knee. Every once in a blue moon, you might even see a little cleave, but just once in a blue moon. Now, I don't dress inappropriately. I'm not slutty or skanky, but yeah, sometimes you will see a little cleave, a little leg, but that's about it, okay? Now, how many times, though, even without showing any cleave, was I taken to task for how I dress? How many times was I taken to task for wearing something sleeveless? How many times was I taken to task for wearing shorts, a tank top? Everything that would be considered normal in American circles is not normal in Muslim Indian circles, or it was frowned upon. Let's just say that it was frowned upon. So it's another thing that makes me improper. And you know what I say, though, in all honesty, I've actually said this. As long as I have one ass that doesn't sag, I will wear what I like. It's just the way it is. So put all of these things together, and I should have just worn a neon sign that said improper on it. In a nutshell, I was always doing my own thing. Problem was, most people just didn't get what that thing was. I tell you what, though, finally, I'm okay with that. Picasso said, "It takes a long time to become young." It took me almost 45 years. I have a birthday coming up. I think I already mentioned that. I'm about to turn 45 in a few days. Back in July, I started to freak out about that. The odd numbers, for whatever reason, have done that to me since about 35. Probably because the clock that I gained looms somewhere in the background and people somehow remind me of that. And that's the messed up part about it, is that I let other people get into my head because I just let other people get into my head for the longest time what people thought mattered to me. Not so much now, but at one time it did. So when I'm not letting people get in my head, I just feel fantastic. I feel fantastic. I feel happy. And that's what I focus on. And in all honesty, I have to say it, and I'll say it a million times to the point where people will probably get sick of hearing me say this. I feel the best emotionally, physically, mentally, and physically at 45 than I did at 35. And I sure as fuck feel better now than I did at 25. For all my 20-something chaos, I liked my 25-year-old self. Like, if you want to know what I was like when I was 25, think Julia Roberts in The Mexican. She was flighty, and everything was a dramatic soliloquy. You ask her a simple question, and you just got this long, out, drawn-out response that may or may not have answered the question. And I was that chick that would throw your shit out the window. Not that I actually did that, but I was capable of that. I just don't know that girl anymore. I like her. I see glimpses of her once in a while, but I just don't know her. But she's cool. So now what I'm doing is I'm just celebrating 45 years of being improper. I celebrate my improperness. That wasn't always the case, though. For a lot of my life, I felt out of place. I was too American for other Indians and too Indian for Americans. When I was coming up, there was a pressure to pick a side. I didn't want to pick a side. To this day, there are aspects of both cultures I appreciate. So I kept trucking along. My poor sisters and cousins got it worse than I did. They were criticized and judged by our relatives overseas for the crimes of cutting their hair and wearing jeans. They didn't wear the traditional garb every day, and my poor mother had to hear it many times when people visited us, but that's fine. I am noticing that we have a caller. Let me answer that. Hello?
Hi, this is Adam. I'm just calling in and trying to support, and I love the topic of today because it's all about empowerment and being you no matter what happens around you or what people say. You are being you, and I really like that you're on this show helping to also empower and enlighten others.
Oh, I appreciate that, Adam. Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Yes, whether somebody likes it or not, for ill or for ill, I'm sharing.
Wonderful. Well, you know, what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, they go through life with this programming that they have to care about what other people think, and that says a lot about their self-worth and their self-value. And what you're pretty much stating here is, okay, yeah, you were a little bit affected by that, but you did not let it program you. You did not let it change who you were. And I think that is a diamond in the rough. I think that that is a very powerful statement.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm really just trying to say that it's okay. It's just okay to be who you are. And I think that's an important message to give to people. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and a lot of these things that we're told, oh, you're doing that wrong, or, you know, oh, that's no good, or that's a sin, and you shouldn't think that way, or you've got to be conscious of what others are thinking and feeling about how you look or dress or act. I think that's all programming, and I really feel that a lot of people allow that to reflect on their self-worth or their self-value, but a lot of people don't realize it's not the value that others have for you that really counts. It's the value that you have for yourself. And you're really sharing that here. And as a spiritual teacher and practitioner, I can really tell you here that that is one of the strongest messages we try and get across to an individual, is it's okay to be them and that they are enough. They are always worthy. And so are you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have always been enough. Mm-hmm. You have always been worthy. And, you know, mm-hmm. I feel that so many people are lost in this world because they have allowed that programming to get to them. And then you notice how mm-hmm. that transfers over to their children and their children's children. Mm-hmm. It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm hoping to do, break those cycles.
Of course. My own way. Well,
yeah.
Of course. Well, thank you for having me and letting me on the show.
Thank you, Adam. Have a great night.
You too.
Okay. Thank you to Adam for calling in and putting your spin on this topic. So yeah, so we weren't dressing traditionally, and we weren't quote unquote cultural, but that was okay because we were good people. And at one time, I did have a lot of angst about how I was perceived, if I was seen as proper, and you know, we didn't want the aunties or the ever enigmatic people talking. God forbid that happens. But now, overall, I could care less about being seen as proper. Finally, I'm comfortable in my own skin. Whether or not somebody approves or doesn't is not the be-all and end-all for me now. How I feel is the be-all and end-all for me now. J.R.R. Tolkien wrote, "All that is gold does not glitter. Not all those who wander are lost." I don't make a display of myself, although I do like some sparkle. And I do like my gold. Wander away from the crowd, but that doesn't make me lost. I really just want to be left alone to do my thing and not be bothered or corrected when I'm just hanging out in my own space. And I think that's what a lot of us want. All right, we're coming to the end of the podcast. If you like what you heard and you're interested in reading my books, I have some links for you. There's the link to Scheherazade's Daughters. Just type in Scheherazade's Daughters at Amazon. And the Siddiqui Brothers in Cairo. Look that up on Amazon. And my website is www.saminakmogul.com. So come check out a blog. I post a new blog every Monday, so come check me out there. Until next time, that's the Samina Spin. Good night and love and light.